May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, protect our hearts, minds, and souls in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us begin our day's services with prayer and thanksgiving. Our dear Heavenly Father, holy, righteous, all-knowing God, we humbly draw nigh unto you in prayer, asking for your presence and blessing for this day's services. Father, you know the needs of your children. You know their trials, their temptations, their difficulties, their sins, their failures. And you alone are able to divide from your word that which we have need of. So we pray that you would bless our services. Bless them for the honor and the glory of your name and for the edification, refreshment of faith for your children. We pray, Father, on behalf of our nation and all of the nations where your children dwell. We ask that you would give the leaders of those nations understanding and even wisdom to so guide that your children could freely gather and worship your holy name. We thank you, Father, that you have blessed us. You have given us in such great abundance that we are not able to fully even realize the greatness of that blessing. But we pray that you would continue to bless your children, bless the work of your kingdom everywhere that it happens, and allow the light that shines from the face of your Son still enlighten this dark, cold world. We pray on behalf of all those who are endeavoring in lonely places of watching. We ask, Father, that you would refresh and strengthen them and give them power to take one more step on the narrow way of life. We pray on behalf of our many friends, relatives, and neighbors who are not partakers of grace, blessing, and faith, that you would yet, Father, keep the doors of your kingdom open and allow all to come seeking and knocking at the doors of your kingdom where they could hear the good speaking voice of the blood of Jesus preached in the gospel from your children that would graft them also into the love that we experience, that heavenly gift. But Father, as you know, our prayers and our petitions are weak and lacking. So we enclose all of them in that prayer as your Son has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I thought to read for our mutual study from the letter of Paul to the Thessalonians from its 5th chapter. We will start with the 8th verse through the 11th. And we hear these words in Jesus' name. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen. When I was thinking of our motto for this summer's services and contemplating the text, of course, like all of us brothers have those worries and temptations about what portion of the Word of God do I speak from. And then I've listened to the brothers' words in the sermons that God has blessed us with, and he has certainly blessed us in such great abundance already during this weekend. It seemed that God has a very direct message and story for us, for his children, for us elders, for the youth, for the adults, for the little ones. Because we live in such an evil world, a difficult time. And perhaps it's been that way for every generation. It seems that the world just gets worse and worse. And when we look at the struggles of the time of the early centuries of the New Testament congregations, where they had to suffer, of course, persecution, and many of the children of God had to give up their lives, go to heaven through the death of martyrdom. Maybe, perhaps, we don't have it so bad. But John, when he wrote Revelations and he was shown that great white-robed throng, and he was asked, "Who are these?" And he said, "Thou knowest." And that angel responded, "These are they who have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And so it has been throughout time, of course. In the Old Testament time, the children of God had to believe that God would send his Son, the Lamb of God, to suffer and die for their sins. In the New Testament time, we know, believe, and understand that he did come, suffered, and died. And we can own that righteousness which makes us acceptable to his Father. He has both redeemed us and atoned for our sins, something that no human being could do. And so we rejoice and thank our Heavenly Father that he has so called us. And Paul, in writing this letter to the Thessalonians, notes that those who are drunken are drunken in the night. He uses that message of that sin to describe what happens, of course. But he says, "Ye are the children of light, children of the day." And that is what the kingdom of God is, isn't it? We are able to endeavor and travel in the light of the Word of God, that grace light that shines from the face of Christ, that enlightens the hearts, conscience in the mind, if people will accept it and believe it, of every person in the world. No one can avoid it. It is there. But will they believe it? Jesus notes to his own that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. It is the work of God from the beginning to its very end. And all of us rejoice that we can be partakers of that grace and have the peace of God. As Luther calls it, the best pillow for the head at night, that sins are forgiven and we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your calling, dear brothers and sisters. This has been the calling that God has given to his children throughout time. Each and every child of God, at their own place of watching, has to fight the good fight of faith. Battle against the threefold enemy, the devil, the world, and our own sinned, corrupt flesh. And isn't it so that the battle is often the fieriest in our own minds? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, hates God. Because God is a spirit, and those who desire to worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And without the Spirit of God, no one can worship God. They can bring forth words and speak beautiful speeches and wonderful presentations, but without the Spirit of God, what is it? It's just another sin, another defilement, another attempt at, even though they don't recognize it, it's a self-righteousness that draws them further away from God if they don't allow the Father to touch their conscience and their heart and remind them again of sin. If anyone says, "What am I to repent of?" they are essentially admitting that they haven't heard the voice of the Holy Spirit in their own conscience. Who is that person would ever say under the hearing of the Word of God that the Spirit hasn't reminded me of sin? When sins are forgiven, then we have peace with God, don't we? But if we come to the services or we are speaking with another precious escort on the way and we have sin on our conscience, we know it. You know it. It's a personal experience of every child of God, because what are we? We are but sin corrupt wretches. And we sin every day in thought, in word, and in deed. We are not capable of being perfect. The kingdom of God is not made up of perfect ones, as we already heard during these services, is it? But it is made up of sinners. And to such ones, such who feel their sinfulness, God grants his grace, his mercy. And that good speaking voice of the blood of Jesus promises that you can believe even now, all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Unto peace and freedom, joy. Isn't that the best way to start the day? Knowing that our rich Heavenly Father desires to take care of us and bless us with another day of grace, as he has blessed us so far during these services. So in the text that I read, Paul says, "Let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love." Soberness is a term that we often associate more with those who misuse or abuse either drugs or alcohol and those kinds of items in our society, who then are, of course, not able to be sober. They are driving drunk or whatever they are doing. Of course, they are not able to function with a mind that is healthy and positive, constructive. But soberness also applies to the battle of faith, doesn't it? It applies in that sense that we are called to watch. We are watching at our own place of endeavorment. We are watching with the rest of the children of God. We rejoice that God has set watchers on the walls of Zion who are able to warn us of the enemy and its attacks so that we also would be able to battle against those attacks of the enemy. And oh, how greatly God has blessed us during this time that he has called ever more workers into his kingdom. Jesus told his own that pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would add workers, because the fields are already ripe to harvest. Isn't it so that none of us know? We don't know where the gospel will go, whom God will call. He calls, he gathers, he enlightens. But he doesn't leave anyone out there as an orphan to endeavor in faith alone. But where are they brought? They are grafted into the true vine, added to the body of Christ, where that mortar of love attaches us one to another with the best attachments, isn't it? Love that is a heavenly gift, love that goes beyond our ability to comprehend it. And so we rejoice. And Paul then uses these terms which picture the soldier of their time. And of course, even in our time, soldiers wear equipment that attempts to protect them from the attacks of the enemy. In Paul's time, it was a sword or a spear or an arrow that would wound the soldier. And so he had on that armor that he would wrap around his chest that would protect it from such attacks. And of course, he wore a helmet and would usually battle with a sword as with an individual fight, or some of them were shot with bows and arrows, or they fought with a spear. In our time, of course, with modern weaponry and guns and so on, the protection is more of the what we call bulletproof vests, which have those ceramic pieces in them that are able to stop a bullet. But it pictures still the necessity of protecting one's heart from the onslaughts of the enemy. And this thought that he calls this breastplate of righteousness and love, or of faith and love. Some other translations use righteousness, and that struck me as fitting for seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In owning the righteousness of Christ by faith means we want to protect it, because God has given us peace through his great grace. He has done it. And in believing, we own that righteousness which makes us acceptable to him. Is that Jesus can present to the Father, these are they whom thou hast given me, and I have not lost one. Isn't it amazing? The scripture says that in the day that a righteous person forsakes his righteousness, that former righteousness is no longer remembered. Dear brother preached of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was known by name, as the scripture so clearly says, and the rich man didn't have a name. His name wasn't written in the book of life in heaven. And anyone who gives up faith no longer has the name of a child of God. Their name is no longer written in that book of life in heaven. Isn't it such a sad case for such? So we want to protect that heart of ours and the righteousness that God has given it by wrapping it in the breastplate of faith, love, and righteousness. Why? because we are so sin corrupt, aren't we? And we need to, Paul uses another text, I think it's to the Ephesians, to gird ourselves with truth. In other words, put that belt of truth on. So how do we wrap ourselves in the breastplate if we don't read the Word of God, read the publications of the Kingdom of God, come to services where the brothers reveal unto us what is the will of God, what is the message that God desires to speak of us today? We are wrapping ourselves with that protection that God provides, dear brothers and sisters, so that we can endeavor in faith and fight the good fight of faith, as Paul says in that same letter to the Ephesians. I have fought, no, he says to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. And then that love that God gives as a heavenly gift is preserved. Sometimes some people, different times of this visitation, have attempted to make a repentance of a lack of love. There's no such sin as a lack of love. But love is lost because of transgressions and sins and offenses. And if those are put away, whatever the sin is, love returns automatically, doesn't it? Love is a wondrous heavenly gift. And as Jesus said, by this shall ye be known as my disciples, that ye love one another. And the other writer, is it to the Hebrews, but don't remember for sure where it is, says, remained steadfast in brotherly love. And so the Bible exhorts us to always endeavor maintaining, making sure that that love is clear of offenses and sins, that as we have opportunity, so we desire to dwell and travel. So both mutual and brotherly love are so important. They're part of the life of the Kingdom of God. And it's one of the first signs of the battle when someone has lost that love, that they no longer have the same love as the rest of the children of God, but they have some special love to others or some subgroup of the children of God. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The helmet pictures, of course, in the same sense as the other weaponry or protection that a soldier would wear. Even during our day, soldiers wear helmets. But the helmet of the child of God, as he says here, is the helmet of the hope of salvation. Because you have that hope of salvation, you desire to protect that understanding that God has given unto you. And what is it? It's a recognition that there is only one way that God justifies and makes a person righteous, and that is by the preaching of the gospel. No other means, no study, no research, no great amount of memorization makes a person righteous before God, gives the hope of heaven, gives the correct understanding of the doctrine of salvation, doctrine of justification, how a person is made righteous. But even here at services, the littlest among us, those little boys and girls know. They know what to do if offenses come, if they are disobedient to mother or father, or they have been fighting with their brothers or sisters, or they had said something that is wrong. They need to hear that gospel, don't they? And they know that they can ask from one another or from their parents or a brother or sister. And they hear that voice of absolution. You can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And when all sins are forgiven, is there anything separating us from the love of God? There's nothing. Nothing. All sins are forgiven. Isn't it wonderful that it isn't never been preached as a conditional gospel? You can believe some of those sins forgiven. always an unconditional gospel. All sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Unto peace and freedom and joy. And this is your calling, dear brothers and sisters. You've been called to be a child of the light. The other thing this helmet of salvation points to is wisdom. I've sometimes discussed it in talking with young people that there are two wisdoms. There's the wisdom that is of this world, that is carnal, that is earthly, it is rational. But we need it. We need it for our lives, for the many different professions. Some of you young people haven't decided yet where your life will lead, and you're seeking for direction. And as you begin your studies, maybe that is the field you decide to go into, or maybe you change fields, or whatever it is where your interests are, there's already in that field wisdom and understanding and tricks of the trade, that we sometimes say, other things that those who are in that field know and are able to help you learn so that you also can work in that field, provide for a family if God so blesses, but support your life, and of course support the work of the kingdom of God. All of those are wonderful blessings. But does that get us to heaven? It cannot. It is of this earth. It is earthly. It is for this time. It ends. What is the wisdom that takes us to glory? It is the wisdom of the Spirit, the wisdom that God gives. And they're like oil and water. We don't want to mix those two, keep them separate, because we can study them, understand those things that are of this world, understand that this teacher or professor who is teaching these things doesn't have spiritual understanding or spiritual wisdom. He's speaking of the earth and the earthly things, and he may be even be an atheist or a denier of the being existence of God. So be it. I desire to remain as a child of God and protect that understanding that God has given unto me, that I, in believing in this way, will take one day to the glory of heaven. Isn't that our endeavor, dear brothers and sisters? Dear young people, that is your endeavor. You are able to then study and work in this world and study at whatever field God inspires you to study at. Dear young people, you probably see and understand people of all different careers and successes in this world. And we as rational human beings make all kinds of decisions, don't we? And we think we're making those decisions that are best for us. That's fine. But the perspective of time that the elders here in your midst would tell you that when we look back, we see the guiding hand of God. We thought we were making decisions that were great rational decisions, but God it was that blessed our footsteps, directed our paths in order for him to keep us on this narrow way of life. For broad is the way, as Jesus says, and wide is the gate that leads unto destruction, and many there are that go therein. But straight, or in other words, tight is that gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. You have found and have been blessed to be on the way which leads to eternal life in heaven. May God continue to bless his congregation. John in Revelations noted that before the plagues of the last times, those angels were told to hold back, keep the plagues back from happening. And then he says, until I have sealed the children of Israel, the children of God. How are they sealed? It's a stamp right on the forehead. What is that stamp? in the high priestly garb of Aaron when Moses was told to make that. He had all kinds of different ornaments on his body, the dress and everything else that he was told to wear. But the headdress was of a different structure. It wasn't a helmet in the sense of a helmet when we think of it today, more like a hat or something that would, a cloth that would lay on his head. But then it had a golden emblem that came over his forehead on top of a field of blue. And it said, as the King James describes it, holiness to the Lord, sanctified, made holy by faith for God. It's a seal that each and every one of you have. You have the correct understanding. You know where the kingdom of God is, how the gospel is preached, and how God makes righteous. And so we are blessed by God that we are able to be part of the throng that is on the way to glory. One day, as we heard yesterday, we will be able to rejoice forever. In Revelations, John says, those who are before the throne of Christ and God have the name of Jesus Christ on their foreheads. They have been sealed with that sign of faith. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The battle of the children of God is not a battle against people. It's a battle against evil, against the evil spirits of this world, against the devil, against those ones who have fallen to follow him, who battle against the kingdom of God. But we are not appointed to wrath. That is not the battle of the kingdom of God. We've never gone forth with the arm of the flesh to do the work of the kingdom of God. Those who have fallen to doing so have lost their soul's salvation. So the kingdom of God is yet today righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we would live together with him. So Lazarus was carried by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. Paul notes in his letter to the Thessalonians that some of those who believed have fallen asleep. When the thief on the cross asked Jesus that, Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. What did Jesus say? Verily, I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. Such is the grace of God, that when God has awakened the heart and offers his grace through a believing brother or sister, that soul is immediately translated from darkness unto light, from the kingdom of death into the kingdom of life. And so Jesus also sanctified the grave as a wonderful resting place for his children, so that we do not have to, as the rich man had to, go directly into perdition, to suffer eternally. A brother noted yesterday that that's one of the sufferings that the enemy of souls is going to have to endure eternally, is all those who blame him because he deceived them. They fell into his lies and his traps and his deceptions. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Isn't this the work and the endeavor of all of the children of God in the kingdom of God? That we are able to comfort one another with the gospel edify one another with the teachings of the Spirit of God and the Word of God in the congregation of God, where we don't have to raise ourselves in our own understanding at some other plateau higher than the rest of the children of God, but rather humbly we submit that my own understanding is just such as it is, weak and lacking. But in the congregation of God, I'm able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, be part of that throng that is on the way to glory, and rejoice over personal and mutual salvation. Lift up your hearts, dear brothers and sisters, and believe that all of your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, unto peace and freedom and joy. I also ask for myself. I came to serve in my own sin, corruption, and failures. Can I believe my many sins forgiven? I desire to believe together with you in Jesus' name. Amen.